and sermon series we've been going through is basically we're talking about ready for a breakthrough. I think it's a new year. A lot of us are excited about new opportunities and possibilities, and I hope and I pray that you're ready for a breakthrough in your life. And today we're talking about second chances, and I'm going to ask you a tough question that some of us probably don't want to answer, and some of us definitely don't want to raise our hands, but have you ever heard the phrase, "I'm going to let you off with a warning"? Some of you raised your hands. Look at you guys. Some of us have heard that phrase, right? Yeah, I'm going to let you off with a warning. Whether you were 15 years old, new driver, maybe in your 20s, driving too fast in town, maybe as you've gotten a little bit older, you've got a bit of a lead foot, you might have heard that phrase. The other phrase you might have heard in the midst of those kind of conversations is, here's your ticket. Here's where you pay, right? Some of us have gone through that, some of you probably have, but that phrase of, I'm going to let you off with a warning, probably brings great joy to your heart, right? Because you broke the rules. You were speeding somewhere along the way. And ignorance of the law, that doesn't count, sorry. If you're speeding, you're speeding, and that officer took pity on you for some reason. God bless them, right? Did you say a prayer in the midst of that? When you hear that phrase, oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord because now my insurance rates don't go up. Yes, I got a reprieve. And so it radically changed your behavior, right? You don't speed. No, you probably brought a radar detector, the little laser thing, you put it in there. You're online seeing where the police are, yeah. No, that's a phrase that I think that probably brings great joy to our heart, but it also means that you've done something wrong. You got a second chance. Second chance to do something right. Second chance to not make a mistake. And yet, for some of us, that kind of a situation sadly doesn't change our behavior. It doesn't. Very few things in this life will actually change our behavior. One of the first ones, I think, is pain. Pain will change your behavior, won't it? Especially for men, men have to be in severe pain and severe struggle to go to the doctor. Yes, amen. That is true. It is true. Yes, bleeding, broken, maybe some bone showing somewhere. Then we'll go to the doctor. Yes, maybe even the ER. But that's what happens for some of us, that we have to be in severe pain to change some of our behavior. Even then, some of us don't change it because we get fixed up and we just keep moving. Worry will change your behavior. It will. So will fear. Fear might change your behavior. Now, here's another one. Advice from a good, respected person might change your behavior. Maybe a trusted friend, a mentor, a parent, someone that you respect and you listen to, they will help you change your behavior. And finally, and sadly for some of us, this might be the last one, but it is the word and the work of God in this world can change behavior. The word and the work of God in our lives can change our behavior. Some churches will use fear and worry and scare tactics to get you to change your behavior, but I don't believe that really is long-lasting change. I believe the word and the work of God in your life will allow you to grow into an amazing disciple, to actually change your life. We shouldn't use fear or pain or worry to do that. We shouldn't use guilt to do it as well. You know, the true message of Jesus is that we can all have a second chance. Every one of us can have a second chance. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved from a life of death and sin and misery and sadness, and we're born into a living hope. We're born into that living hope that sin no longer has a say over us, and we are set free. That is our second chance at life here on this earth. It truly is. There are key principles, fundamental principles to life that we all must learn along the way. For some of us, it takes a long time to learn those things. It does. But I tell you, once you get them right, your life is much better. The first one I want to talk about today is this. There are consequences to our behavior, right? Parents, look at your kids, tell them, there are consequences to your behavior because there are. One thing leads to the next. You reap what you sow, is what the Bible also says. When we put good out there, that's a good thing. Good out into the world brings good back. Put negative, bad, awful stuff out in the world, it's going to come back. The Bible talks about this. Jesus talks about this. And when you put good out in the world, great things will happen. You put bad out in the world, it's coming back to you. When I was younger, there was a guy in my father's industry that I'd heard about. He was a businessman, business owner, and was not well-liked by many other businessmen. He really wasn't a nice guy, and he would cause great harm and problems to other businessmen in the area because he put business above relationships. And his response to every dirty, underhanded, awful thing he would do was, it's just business, right? It's just business. And he did this for years and years and years. His children went into the same business with him, and they were treated the same way. It's just business. To the point at which, over the years, he had done so many horrible things to other people, he had reaped so many terrible, awful things out there in the world, that he was not only morally bankrupt, but his company went bankrupt because he had burned every bridge of anybody he ever worked with. He burned every bridge, even the bridges to his kids. He was an island unto his own. And even probably still today, this guy still says, even after all that stuff, he probably still says, well, it was just business. He didn't realize the consequences of his behavior. That the way he acted in this world, although saying it was just business, didn't work out that well. He's not a successful businessman anymore. He has no good relationships with his kids. His kids won't work with him anymore. He reaped what he sowed. And when we look at our own lives, we have to ask ourselves, do we reap what we sow? Are we sowing good things? You know, life's more than business. Life is relationships, folks. I hope we all realize that. You know, this guy was a multimillionaire at one point in time. This guy had done really well. But he got off track somewhere. Instead of treating people with respect and kindness and generosity, he became very greedy and didn't really care about anybody else. There's a story in the Old Testament that I want to share with you today. It's about one of the kings of Israel. He was probably king longer than any other king of Israel. And for most of his reign, he did evil. His name was Manasseh. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Manasseh. It's an Old Testament story. We don't talk a little too much about the Old Testament here, but in 2 Kings 21, 1 through 2, we hear a story. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Right? 12 years old. That's a little scary. He reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Now, this is many, many, many years ago, okay? This is like 700 BC, way back when. Manasseh had inherited the kingdom from his father, who had actually not been a terrible king, and Manasseh is considered to be the worst king in the history of Israel. He did so many awful things, so many detestable things, that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What were some of the things that he did? Well, he constructed idols. He tore down different places to worship the Lord and put up these idol things. He allowed pagan things to be part of the religious practices of God's people. And for several years, he basically treated the people of God horribly. Terrible. Terrible, awful things this guy did. Now, you're sitting there thinking, well, maybe that's not that bad, but I want you to think about this. This guy's supposed to be the king of Israel. He's supposed to be the king in charge of God's people. And what does he do? He does all these terrible idol worship things. I mean, just terrible things against God. And here was the response of the prophets to him. The prophets came and spoke to him, and they said, the Lord said through his servant the prophets, Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him and has led Judah into sin with his idols. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I'm going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. The pain and suffering that you and your folks will have will be so awful, other people's ears will tingle when they hear about it. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance, God says, and give them into the hands of my enemies. They'll be looted, they'll be plundered by all their enemies. They have done evil in my eyes and have aroused my anger from the day their ancestors came out of Egypt until this day. God was not happy with Manasseh. He wasn't happy at all. He was very, very upset with all these terrible, detestable, pagan, idol-worshiping things, these idols that were built to other gods. I mean, this is some of the basic Old Testament Ten Commandments stuff. Don't do this. And what does he do? He does it anyway. He does it anyway. And so what happens? Well, part of the kingdom is destroyed, invaded, the Assyrians come in, and all these terrible things happen. He doesn't relent. He only relents, and this is not actually listed in 2 Kings. It's not in 2 Kings at all. It's in Chronicles. It's a different story. And some even say that that story was a nice way of making Manasseh's life have a turnaround, and it's not recorded there or anywhere else. But basically in Chronicles it says that he finally relented after losing the kingdom. All these terrible things happened to him. He finally prayed to God and said, "Help me out. Help me out, Lord." And it says he went back and he finally changed his ways. He finally changed his ways and he started to go back to the way it was supposed to be. Tore down some idols, all these terrible things. He tried to go back to the way it's supposed to be. But get this. He had a son who became king, Amon. What do you think his son did? He went back to the way things used to be under his dad. He didn't have the religious experience that his dad did of losing everything. And so he went right back to building idols. He went right back to doing all those terrible, awful things. Manasseh had a chance to change, and he did, but he changed too late to really have it relate to his family and his kids. They didn't inherit the good stuff that he had done. At some point in time in all of our lives, we have to realize the wrong and do the right. His grandson's name was Josiah. It's a good name, right? Some of you know this, our son, we have a son named Josiah. And this is where it comes from, the story of Josiah. 2 Kings 22 through 1 through says, Josiah, the grandson of Manasseh, son of Amnon, was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. How about us? Are we doing evil in the eyes of the Lord? Or are we doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord? Look at your life right now. You choose to follow Jesus. It is a choice of yours. You're not forced to do it. You follow Jesus because you chose to. Are you doing right? Are you doing wrong? In the eyes of the Lord, are we doing right or are we doing wrong? It's up to each and every one of us to decide. We can point each other in the right direction by looking at the Word of God. We as Christians can say, yes, I am doing right. But what's that measuring line, that plumb line that God talked about? It's a line of righteousness, of holiness, of justice, of kindness, and of love. That's the kind of stuff that we need to be putting out into the world. Not judgment, hatred, or anger, or any of that other stuff. You know, something changed in the history of Israel with these three kings. Somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, somebody got it right. This is kid Josiah, 8 years old. He gets it right for some reason. Who knows? Maybe it was somebody that was influencing him. Maybe he saw some of the bad stuff that happened under his dad. Maybe. Who knows? But somewhere along the way, he made a choice to do what was right. And he gave Israel a second chance. Let me read to you from 2 Kings again. There's a religious revival that goes on during Josiah's time. And this passage of Scripture talks about them finding the Bible. Conveniently, someone had lost the Bible. They'd lost a lot of the scrolls and the law, the book of the law and all the rules. Someone probably just threw them away. Well, somebody finds them, and it says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, and he says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for my people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book and that has been found. He says, great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. For Josiah and the people of God at this time, they realize they've done a lot of wrong. Somehow, some way, they went in the wrong direction. And when they stumble upon the book of the law, someone uncovers it, finds it, and says, oh my goodness, look at this book. They open it up and they read it. They take it to the king and say, you have to see this. Look at all this stuff we're supposed to be doing. Look at all these things we're not supposed to be doing. He's so frustrated and upset. It says he tore his clothes. That's a religious thing that happened back then, that they were trying to communicate how upset they were, how embarrassed and ashamed he was that they didn't know these things. And so they change. They radically and amazingly change. They tear down all the idols, every one of them. A religious revival happens in the time of Josiah because he listened to the Lord. He read God's word and changed his life, which changed the lives of all the Israelites. God did not bring pain and suffering and heartache on them in the midst of Josiah's reign because they all agreed they needed to be closer to God. And it wasn't because of pain or suffering or guilt or any of that stuff. One person realized they were doing wrong and changed their life because they trusted in the Word of God. They trusted that the Word of God was true, it was just, and it was righteous. Now for us, in our own lives, we struggle with pride, anger, hatred, gossip, speaking poorly of others. We fight when we should just listen. We think we have to be right. Sometimes we judge too much instead of loving others. But I tell you, we all have a choice in this life. We all truly have a choice because we can change. We can all change. And if you could read the Word of God and hear God's Word spoken to your heart, you can change. Now, some of us might think, well, why do I need to do that? I'm a good person. Well, you might be a good person. Maybe you are a great person. But are you a good Christian? Are you a great Christian? Are you a great follower of Jesus? Because I think sometimes we get a little bit off track. And I think we allow the world to influence us too much. And instead of doing God's will, we do our will or the world's will. We do. And instead of following God, we follow whatever worldly thing we want to follow. And we end up speaking poorly of others or gossiping. You know, there's a lot of people we can speak poorly of in this world, right? And we'd be right. I mean, here's the thing about giving opinions about this stuff. You can say something that's not nice about somebody else, and you can be right. Did you know this? Does it make it good or right or righteous? It doesn't. I mean, we can all agree the Patriots cheat, right? You could probably even say amen to that. I mean, because it's the truth. But are we supposed to do that? Am I supposed to talk like that? Probably not. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, is that when we walk down that road, which, you know, who cares about that? But other things, we talk about people personally we know and we care about, our family, our friends, and we get into that kind of stuff, that's not good. It's not holy and it's not just. It's a struggle, I think, for many of us. So I'll say this. For many of us, we've received a second chance at life. There are people in this world that have not. They have not found their second chance. And part of it is because we haven't extended a second chance to them. So I finally say this to you. God will bless your holy endeavors. God will bless your holy endeavors. You know, you have to ask yourself, who do you put first in this life? Who do we put first in this world? Is it us, our needs, the needs of our family, or do you put God first? Do you put the church first? Well, but Pastor Jeremy, the Bible tells us our family should come first. Actually, it says Jesus should come first. Do you know that? But a lot of us have chosen to put family first. I get it. You also sometimes choose to put work first. You know what the Bible says about that? Don't do that. That's an idol. That can become an idol to our own lives. We need to put God first in our life. Let me read to you from 2 Kings 22 through 19 through 20. Now listen to this. Because your heart was responsive, Josiah, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken against this place and these people, that they would become a curse and be laid to waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you. I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors and be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place. In other words, God already knows where the people of God are going to end up. But he tells Josiah, since you relented, you changed, and you helped change all these lives, you will not see the suffering that these people will eventually go through because of their behavior. Because they were still on the same track. Because some of them still didn't relent. Some of them still could not realize they weren't living the life that God called them to live. I feel like that speaks to us a little bit today. That there's some of us who have chosen to follow God, follow Jesus, and yet we haven't changed much in our own life. We haven't changed that much about our spiritual journey. When they read the book of the law, it was as if they had seen it for the first time. And I wonder for us, how many of us actually read the Word of God? You know, back in the time of Jesus, they knew the Bible front and back. They knew all the stories. They knew all the people. They knew why things happened the way they did, so they wouldn't have to repeat their own history. How about us? Do we know the Word of God? Or do you guys trust me to tell you what's in the Word of God, right? That's good. It's all right. Sometimes I make mistakes, but I can teach you a little bit every week. But we need to know a lot. We need to have that as part of our spiritual journey. That Word of God needs to be in us every day. Dwell deeply among us and in us. You know, the embodiment of God's grace, mercy, and love comes in Jesus. It does. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God's grace, mercy, and love. Just like He relented and pulled back that suffering upon Israel when Manasseh finally said, okay, I relent because of pain. Josiah's was a religious awakening and said, yes, we all need to change. God pulled back again. And then Jesus comes. And Jesus' requirement is, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of people. Just follow me. John says it this way, he says, believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus has many, many rooms for all of us. For us, we have to choose to follow. One of the disciples once asked Jesus, he said, you know all these people around us that sin and that cause me harm? Because, you know, the disciples were pretty holy, pretty just and righteous. They say, what do we do with these people? How many times should we forgive the people that sin against us? Jesus' response is this. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answers, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. We should always forgive. So I want you to think about your own life right now. There are people in your own life right now that require a second chance, that deserve a second chance, not because they've done something nice or good or loving or caring, but they need a second chance. They need a second chance just like you received a second chance. Will you extend that to them? Will you be like King Josiah and say, you know what? I am going to get holy with God. I'm going to get right with the Word of God, and I'm going to help those around me. I'm going to be a light to those around me and help them find their way. Or are we going to keep judging the world, judging those around us? I'd rather have somebody in church than not in church. We should have all the same attitude, no matter their story, what happened to them, whatever sins they've committed, it should not matter to us because we want to extend that mercy, grace, and love that we have received from Jesus. So in your own life, who needs a second chance? Who needs that invitation? Who needs that conversation? Just like Josiah found his way again, even though his parents were not that good of people. Detestable, evil things in the eyes of the Lord, he chose to change. We can all change. Everyone can change. That is the true message of Jesus, that everyone can come to the Lord. Not everyone knows Jesus because we haven't been out there and shared Jesus with them. The worst thing that can happen for a church is that people drive by and say, oh, that's those hypocrites, those judgmental, mean, awful people. Because there are folks that think that way in our community. They've experienced the church in a negative way. We have to be better. We have to be willing to get out there and break down those walls and say, no, we're not like that. We don't judge people. We don't speak poorly of people. We don't gossip. We don't have anger or hatred. We love the Lord and we love our neighbors so amazingly that we're willing to get out there and share the good news. Jesus comes, no hellfire and brimstone. Even though the disciples asked for it along the way, they said, Lord, can we just burn down some of these places where these sinners live? No, Jesus says, no, we have to forgive. We have to forgive. So if someone sinned against you, I would encourage you to forgive them. Forgive them and let it go. Your forgiveness can go a long way in the life of someone who is full of sin. If you forgive them, they might find their way back to the Lord. If you pray for them, they have a better chance of coming back to the Lord. And if you will read your Bible every day, if you'll read the Word of God, and the Word of God will dwell deeply inside of you every day, I guarantee that person that's far from God has a better chance of finding God than if you don't do any of that. It's up to us to give people second chances. Will you do that? Will you give someone a second chance at life, the hope and the love and the kindness of Jesus? It was extended to us all at one point in time in our life, and for many of us, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Will you extend that same opportunity to your neighbors, your friends, and even your enemies? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we know that the true message of Jesus is about forgiveness, redemption, transformation, and hope. Lord, help each and every one of us offer the gift of salvation to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, and to those who are far from you. It's up to each and every one of us to do so. Grant us this courage to get out there and share that good news. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Please stand and sing our final song.